Going back into our series today, it's a sensitive series. You've seen the series title, They, Them. I know it's somewhat spicy, somewhat provocative, meant to get your attention. But of course, this is so much of what we are seeing. We can't see this 1,000 times a week on social media and news media and billboards and everywhere, and then be shocked when we see it taught in church. Last Sunday, we brought a message called War at the Door, and I know it was a strong message. I've heard from so many people. I don't know that I have ever gotten more response to one particular message than I have this week, hearing from you about last Sunday's message. I appreciate your feedback. I genuinely do. And if you weren't here or haven't heard that message, then you can easily catch up on YouTube or thechurchcov.com. You can listen there. It is a war at the door, because this isn't just a problem or an issue. It really is a war for morality. It's a war for decency. It's a war for righteousness. And so this series is going to shift next week, and I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm going to stay here for just a few weeks, but it is going to shift. I'm not going to be teaching week after week on these kinds of subjects, but I need to preach exactly what I feel from the Lord. I need to be obedient to the Lord, and we always endeavor for that. We always strive for that. If you've been here any amount of time, you know I'm not one to bring my opinion or just conjecture to this pulpit. I respect this space too much. I really do want to speak exactly and only what God says to speak and to preach, and that is important to me. But today's message, it's going to be a little bit challenging, not in the same way that last week was, but I need to teach a little bit and need to work through some things and define some terms today. And I want to talk to you about gender today, and God's plan for us as men and as women. You and I know that God is not the author of confusion, and yet there is gender confusion. You say, why do we need to talk about this? Very simply, we need to talk about this because we're being forced to talk about this. This is being put in our faces. Somehow the smallest percentage of people are demanding all of the airtime. They're requiring all of the social media feed, and they are forcing the uncomfortable. But the biggest reason is because our kids are talking about this. And again, like last week, you're saying, not my little Johnny, not my little Susie. They are so innocent. They don't know anything about this. Whoever's sitting beside them, just tap them on the shoulder and tell them, head out of the sand. It's time to wake up, because Johnny and Susie are talking about this. They are talking about this. Even our own CY, just in a recent group conversation, playing a game, you know, just games that generate conversation. And the question was asked, what do you wish your church would talk about? And around the room, every single one of them were saying, I wish they would speak to gender. I wish they would bring clarity. That's my word, but wish we could understand this. You know why? Because they're hearing about this everywhere. This is being talked about everywhere, every conversation, and so we have to discuss this. I remember a conversation with one of our middle school teachers who told me personally, right here in this auditorium, my students go home. They leave one day with one name and they come back the following day, not 1 week later, not 1 month later, they come back the next day and they have a different name. They want to be called by a different name and referred to as a different gender. And the teacher told me, as a teacher, I am required, to go with whatever they tell me. Again, folks, I'm not talking about some West Coast city. I'm not talking about New York. I'm not talking about, you know, all them places you've heard about that are just sin and demacho. I'm talking about right here. Teachers in this house that deal with these things. It sounds crazy because in your mind, you're either one or the other. The problem is our kids, you and I, are being told a much different story. Just this week, preparing for the message, I typed into my search engine on my personal computer, how many genders are there in 2024? I think they have this picture. How many genders are there? You see the question. You see the question I asked. How many genders are there in 2024? This is my computer. I typed that in. It's not something I got from somewhere else. This was the first top result that came up on my computer, 107 gender identities. Can we talk about this? Can we discuss this? Can we do this in a loving, godly way? Can we address this subject? Because here's the reality. In the race for the heart of the next generation, the one who gets there first wins. I want to say that again. In the race for the heart of the next generation, the one who gets there first wins. As the church, we must get there first. That means we have to talk about it. That means we have to address it. And I understand someone's going to say, Pastor Derek, you're veering into politics. No, this is spiritual. This is not political. This is biblical. I've said it before, but it's even renewed strong in my heart that this has been probably the most successful ploy of the enemy to make this a political conversation all of a sudden. And if spiritual people talk about this, then it's deemed hateful, or it's deemed judgmental, or so many other things that are said. I'm 51. And this wasn't even a quiet conversation when I was a kid, when I was coming up. Now it's loud. It's loud. And if we're not careful, we will shrink behind "don't offend" and "be careful." We don't want to ruffle any feathers. And hear me today. My heart is is never to offend. I promise you, my heart is never to offend. I've just been a bundle of nerves on the front row. I look around, I see guests, I see brand new people to our church, and I want to be so careful with every word, because I my mannerism, everything, I want it to come across just right, because I don't want you to think that there's anything mean in me, anything unkind in me, because there's not. If I were to give you my resume of all the people that are in my life, people that I know, people that I have close relationship with that live very, very differently than I do, I promise you, I love them. I eat meals with them. I can have phone conversations. I care very deeply about them. But when it comes to, hey, don't tell me the truth because the truth offends, ladies and gentlemen, truth is designed to offend. Truth is designed to draw lines. Truth is designed to create separation and difference. And so because we have been so afraid to offend, and because the definition of offense has changed so much, the consequence of this extreme sensitivity and never offending, the consequence of that is that today, 45% of teens believe all faiths are equally valid. I want you to think about that for just a moment, because on the surface, it sounds great. Ah, well, that's good. 45% of all teens believe that all faiths are equally valid. That's a good thing. No. Only one faith is valid. Everything can't be true at the same time. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Now, we're about to offend someone. I know it's shocking. And hear me, I can respect everyone's right to believe what they want to believe, and I do. Again, I have people in my world that are so different than me. I spent multiple hours this last week with two Muslim brothers, two Muslim friends. They were raised together as best friends and now in business together. And I mean, two of the finest people and just most beautiful hearted, spirited people. I mean, I enjoy spending time with them. I enjoy hanging out with them. I care about them. I love them. And we got into those conversations, and tell me how you became a pastor, one of them asked me, and we're talking about those things. But that conversation is always going to get to a place. It's always going to get to a fine point of I believe that Jesus is God, and I can't back up from that. That doesn't mean I don't love you. That doesn't mean I don't care about you. That doesn't mean I will not break bread with you and share this meal with you. But we have to be able to have a conversation. 45% of teens believe all faiths are equally valid. But what began as respect has devolved down to, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. That's TikTok theology. Because all beliefs are not the same. All gods are not the same. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I know what his name is. I know who he is. And I want to make sure that every student in this house, I want to make sure that every young believer in this house, I want to make sure that every old believer in this house is not confused in these matters that, wait a minute, I mean, I've got friends that are this faith and maybe some family members that are that faith. And you know what? We're going to keep passing the turkey and we're going to keep sharing yams with one another. But at the end of the day, I am going to stand for what I believe, and I'm not going to back up. I'm going to do it with a smile. I may do it with tears in my eyes, but I am not going to back up. I am not going to let down who I am or my conviction. I am not going to back up. Can't. Because traditionally, historically, government, their position, their posture has been to restrain vice. In other words, restrain wickedness and crime and things of those nature while the church promotes virtue. It's all the church and the government have always worked in tandem, or always did throughout history. The church and the government, the priest, the pastor was always a political figure charged with moving the congregation to their way of thinking, far, far different today. And the way that we're being forced to lead. Because in modern times, the government is getting closer and closer to restraining the virtue of the church and is promoting godless virtues. There are people that are being put in jail in countries in our world for misgendering people. Now, to misgender someone, it is considered a hate crime. Am I the only one that watches the news? Nah. Because the government, both sides of the aisle, it's I'm sorry, it's everywhere. We don't have good choices, ladies and gentlemen. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. The government wants us to view gender as a social construct. That's how you get to 107 genders. Because whatever you feel is what's true. Whatever you think is what works. But see, the truth is that gender is God designed. It's not theory. It's not just however I feel today is that that's what I am. That's why a middle school student can go home on a Tuesday afternoon when the bell rings at 3:15, and by 7:30 the next morning they have decided they have a different name and they are a different gender. Because gender is theory, it's social construct, it's whatever you feel. Maybe it was somebody cool on social media, maybe it was a YouTube they watched, maybe it was just something that was directing or shaping their thinking. And so somewhere in those 12, 14 hours, they made a decision, you know what, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna change this and this is who I will be today. That's what happens when gender is theory. I'm whatever I say I am, regardless of equipment. Theory is worldview. We do not need worldview, we need biblical worldview. We need to see the world through the lens of the Word of God. Because man may change, man has changed, man will change. But ladies and gentlemen, throughout history, God has not changed. What he said in this book is still true. And what he said in this book is still right. That's what we need to ascribe to, because here's the truth. We don't decide what is right and then go to the Bible to prove it. We decide the Bible is right and then build our lives around it. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to function. I'm supposed to hide this in my heart. Why? That I may not sin against the Lord. This is my worldview. So whatever I'm viewing out there, it's through the lens of the Word of God. That's why when that starts to look fuzzy and blurry and just, you know, cloudy and just completely confused, wait a minute. I don't have to be confused just because other people are. I have the truth right here, and I'm going to keep living by the truth. Whatever everyone else may do, I'm going to keep living according to the Word of God. So we study the Bible to understand it, and then we allow its truths to guide and to shape our thinking. We don't put a lens on to view the Bible. The Bible becomes our lens through which we view everything else. That's what a biblical worldview does. Because we do not believe as a church, as a people, you may not be there personally yet. That's why we're teaching today. That's why we're talking about this today. But we do not believe that gender is a social construct. We believe gender is the design of a wise and good creator who is the maker of heaven and earth. They tell us we are living in a post-modern world. Post-modernism, maybe you've heard that term. Post-modernism is the distrust of long-held beliefs and ideologies. Very simply, according to postmodernism, the old has to go. The values of your grandparents are outdated. They're no more. That's old language. That Bible, it was an idea, but you know, look at their society, look at their people, look at the world they were living in. Now we know so much more. Now we have so much more. Now there is so many other things going on that we have to set all of that aside. We have to put all of that away, and we have to live according to relativism, because postmodernism produces relativism. I'm sorry, I should have had these terms on the screen for you today so that you can see them. But relativism is the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, society, and historical context. And none of it is absolute. I'm going to say that again because I don't want you to miss that. Relativism is the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality, all of those things, whether it's your absolute of knowledge, wait a minute, this is what I know. No. Relativism says you don't really know that. You just think you know that because someone else thinks something different. And because there is someone else who thinks something different, you're over here saying, no, there's two genders, male, female. No, Google said there's 107. So because someone thinks something different, that nullifies, that voids the truth that you believe. No, it doesn't. I don't care who says it. I know Google. I know Bezos and all of them. They can buy and sell me many, many times. Lots of success monetarily and by world standards. But sir, as much many billions as you have, if you don't know the difference in a male and a female, then your money means nothing. Because I don't live my life by relativism. I'm not letting social conditions or culture or society decide what is true. They want us to believe that there are no absolutes. The Bible is just an old idea. It's outdated. Everything is fluid. Truth is a moving target. Right and wrong are moving, fluid ideas. And because truth is fluid, then guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Gender is fluid too. It's not true. Relativism says there is no right way to view the world. What's right for one person may not be right for another person. Relativism says there is only individual truth and there is no universal truth. So now we get terms like, well, it's my truth. Let him live his truth, because there are no absolutes. Truth is a moving, fluid idea. I don't want to say her name because I don't want anybody to throw a tomato at me or be offended, but there was very famous talk show host who was sort of the evangelist of relativism. And it was the constant idea, an in quote statement, that all roads lead to God. Let them live their truth. No, that's relativism. The problem with relativism is reality. Okay. Reality always confronts relativism. We in the weeds section of this message. Give me just a moment. The reality, very simply, the reality is if you don't eat food, you will die of starvation. Everybody agrees with it. That's not true for me and not true for you. It is a universal truth. If you don't eat food, I get it. Some of us could stand to go without food for a little while to test the theory. I understand. But at some point, you and I are going to have to eat or we will die of starvation. It's not true for me and untrue for another. And that doesn't matter what your race is, what nation you come from, or what sex you are. It is a universal truth. And we believe in the universal truth. So what is true? Because it's an old trick of the enemy. And actually, none of his tricks are new. It's an old trick of the enemy to believe that there is a disconnect between body and soul. That the body isn't the real you. The real you is how you feel on the inside. This is foundational to gender fluidity. You can move in and out. That's why people say, well, I'm non-binary, because some days I wake up and feel male and other days I wake up and feel female. And whatever I feel that day, that's how I determine how I'm going to live, maybe what my pronouns are going to be, for some, how I'm going to dress, what tone I'm going to use. That's where it comes from. Everybody all right? Y'all all right? Because my nerves are gone. I'm comfortable. But you can't disconnect the body and the soul. We can't separate the real you from who God intended you to be. The belief that one can choose their gender now is showing up in schools as kids are being told they can decide. And the kicker is that whatever the sixth grader decides will be kept secret from their parent Why? Because they know the parent would kick and scream and throw fits and bring someone back to reality. No, 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 no. Let me tell you who you are. Let me remind you. I was there the day you were born. Now they want to tell us that you cannot label a child according to their sex at birth. It has to be determined later. When they decide, after they get a social media account and start watching all of this stuff, indoctrinate them and tell them who they are and what they are and who they should be and what they should be doing. That's when they get to decide what their gender is. Ladies and gentlemen, have we gone crazy? Paul refutes all of this. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Don't you realize, he said, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. It's what I was trying to teach last week. When Lot said, hey, I tell you what, I'll give you my virgin daughters. You can do with them whatever you want. Just don't mess with the holy in my house. I'll gamble with my flesh. I'll gamble. I'll try this and try that. But I got to keep some sacred part of me. And Paul said, you got to honor God with your body. In other words, you got to do your best to walk in purity and holiness And you can't sin against your body. We can't separate the real us from the embodied us. I can't separate, well, I feel like this today. No, I look in the mirror and I know what I am. And I can't separate that. You and I were made in the image of the Almighty God. You have body, soul, and spirit. And what you do in the body affects your soul. There's no disconnect between body and soul. That's why those men would not accept Lot's daughters, because they wanted the holy men inside his house. So all of this leads to the idea that gender is a social construct. That biology is no longer the determining factor for who you really are. One verse of scripture, one verse of scripture that settles it for me. Again, you probably have someone you're related to that thinks different. You may have someone in your home that feels different. You may have a good friend that lives differently than you do. Love them, care about them, sit with them, talk with them. But it all comes down to Genesis 1 and 27. So God created human beings. God created, not tadpoles, not evolved from monkeys. God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. They, them. That's it. But wait a minute. What about what Google said? What about what Google said? Well, I mean, they're really smart, rich people. Shouldn't we at least give some thought to there being 107 gender identities? No, I've got Genesis 1:27. God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Semicolon, male and female, he created them. Two. Woo. Truth has to be spoken. We'll get back to better preaching next Sunday, but truth has to be declared, because the church cannot be silent in fear that someone will be offended. Because on my mind all week have been junior high students, high school students, saying, "What do you wish your church would talk about?" Well, I mean, I think I know the answer, but I keep hearing this over and over and over. I keep hearing the coolest celebrities and all them YouTubers and I keep hearing this talked about, and now it's my teachers and it's the influencers of the day. Everybody's telling me, and it's just confusing. I need our students. I need every searching heart in this house to have a place, a reference point, a true north to go to say, wait a minute, when my heart is overwhelmed, let me get to the rock, because when so many competing and convincing voices are telling me that, you know, what my church says, let me go to the right. Let me get in the presence of God. Let me go to the Bible so that I can get the answer that I need for my life. Because no matter who you are, no matter who they are, I know truth may offend, but we are going to love in this church. Going to love people. Because God doesn't always send cookie cutter people that just have a general need of God. When God finds a church that he can trust, people that will love others with his love, he says, all right, I'm going to send some people to you. Had somebody sit in my office just not that long ago. God had put a burden in their heart, and they asked me a question, Pastor, are we ready? Are we as a church, are we ready for God to send us people that are broken, people that are hurting? Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You know what that means, right? That means somebody may come. Somebody that bothers you. Somebody that icks you. Somebody that you're not sure about. We stand on truth, but we reach in love. We stand on truth. We reach in love. We have to. Being the church means we have to love people. We can't discard them because we're bothered by their life choices. You never know what's happened in someone's life to bring them to the place of choosing that they've come to. I'm going to give you 4 points really quick. I'm closing. These are all in my closing moments. The first point of truth to stand on is that a good and wise God is the creator of everything we see. That means he is the final authority on who we are and who we become. Very simply, it's not my choice because he already chose. He already decided. Mark 10 and 6, but at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Secondly, male and female are the only sexes God designed. Gender is not a social construct. There are not 107 genders. Each gender was made for the other, and through marriage, these two become one and have the potential of creating a family. Mark 10 and 7, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. Three, the soul is engendered. Means the soul is rising above. The soul is after a cause. We cannot be separated, the real you and the embodied you. Your soul is trying to get an agreement and alignment with what your body is. See, culture says your psychology is the highest form of authority, and therefore your psychology determines your gender. No. The Bible says that God is the highest authority. He created your body and he made no mistake. And the biology that he gave determines your gender. You say, Pastor Darrell, I know I'm in this body, but I feel like I'm supposed to be something else. I want to walk with you. I want to have that conversation with you. I want to sit down over a good meal, because if we don't eat, both of us, we're going to starve to death. Finally, your gender tells you God's plan for your life. Culture says follow your psychology to find yourself, and that is the pathway to fulfillment. The Bible says honoring God and his plan, even when it means I deny myself, that's what leads to life and fulfillment. But you see, the world is broken. The world is broken. And many, many people in it are broken. The world's only solution to fix the brokenness inside is to work on the outside. So they say, dress this up, cut this off, remove this, change that. And when you do all of that, then you'll start to feel different. The solution of the world is that you're broken on the inside, so we'll break you on the outside. But see, I'm thankful today that we serve a God who doesn't work from the outside in. He works from the inside out. They want us to believe, my time is gone. They want us to believe that the suicide rates among those who are in transition, because the suicide rates are off the chart. And they're telling us just as loudly as they can that the reason the suicide rates are off the chart is because these people are not being accepted. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not true. It's not true. I'm not saying it's never happened I'm not saying there are not cruel people in this world. There are cruel people in this world. You come see me after church, I can tell you about a story that happened just a few short years ago, before all of this was such a thing. Well, Lord have mercy. It's what they want us to believe. But too many doctors are coming forward, telling us that the puberty blockers are creating major mental disorders and tremendous instability because you can't get out of God's order to find order. You got to get in alignment with God's word that's been spoken in your life. I just read, you can Google this. It's not a religious site. It's not a religious journal. Do No Harm. It's a medical journal, medical site where doctors post, hey, this is what I'm finding. This is what I'm seeing. This is what my research informs me. Do No Harm. And a whistleblower out of Maine Medical Center has posted there under Do No Harm. What they're telling us is not true. All the medication that they're giving is creating the suicidal ideations, the instability. Ladies and gentlemen, we need revival. We need healing. We need God. I stand here today, all 6'3", and none of your business how much I weigh. I stand here to tell you, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what you struggle with. I want to walk with you. I will walk with you. Your thoughts don't gross me out. I love you. And I believe there's healing for your life, no matter. But at the same time, this idea that continues to pressure the church. Oh no, church, capital C, you're gonna buckle. You're gonna buckle. We're going to keep ratcheting it up until you can't teach a message like this. Somebody will report you to the press and we'll have an army of picketers here next Sunday. Buy more water bottles so we can give them all water. Make more sausage balls so we can feed every one of them. Get an extra few dozen donuts. We don't want them to starve to death. But this is the truth. And I have to follow it. So, Father, I feel your presence, Lord. I feel your spirit. We stand here, Lord, broken people, living in a broken world, fallen people living in a fallen world. It would be so easy to say, well, finally he preached a preach something I don't struggle with. No, but we all struggle with something. Finally, he got on something that's not my thing. And yet we've all got a thing. and here in your presence, Lord. Here at the foot of the cross, it's that level ground. No sin is better than another. No choice, no idea is better than another. It's just brokenness. It's just fallenness. And all of us need the same forgiveness, the same healing, the same help. Today, Lord, I repent of my sins. I repent of every wayward thought, idea, passion, every wicked way in me. I repent. I want to stand before you, God, with clean hands and a pure heart. I want you to save me. I want you to restore, renew, and revive. Bring into focus. What is true? So that I can build my life around truth and do my best to live that truth every day. There may be other people in this room today, Lord, that would share that same prayer. Forgive us. Change us. Free us. I believe you're doing that right now. No sin. No sin. It's unforgivable. If we're willing to ask, you're faithful and just to forgive. Heal us today, Lord. I pray that this church would be a lighthouse, a beacon of hope to a broken world, broken community. Somebody can find you here. Someone can be healed here. Someone's life can be changed here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.